Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. It's a wonderful song that went along really well with their message this morning. We preached a sermon talking about there's no more. And there is going to be a time when there is no more opportunity for people to get their hearts right with God. And that after the rapture happens and after his second coming or whenever you enter eternity, whether through death or through the rapture or through that there's no more chance. No more chance for a person to get saved. No more chance for a Christian to do service. And no more chance to tell someone the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tonight, we're going to continue on with this thought and this idea as we head to Friend Day, talking about the importance of reaching out to one another. And we've talked about that the last couple Sunday mornings. We're going to look at it tonight. Not sure exactly what we're going to look at next week. We'll see how the Lord leads on that. But here today, we're going to preach a message talking about good news. Good news. And it will be up on our screen, hopefully, in a second, talking about the good news. You say, what's good news? Well, the word gospel, that's used 98 times in the New Testament, actually means the words good news. There's only one gospel. I know you say, Pastor, there's a Matthew, there's a Mark, there's a Luke, and there's a John, and those are gospels. Yes, those are the books of the Bible that have a presentation of the good news in it, talking about what Jesus Christ did, recording the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there's only one gospel. Galatians 1:8 says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So Paul was saying, hey, look, there's only one gospel. If anybody else is preaching anything else to you and trying to tell you there's a different way of salvation, let them be accursed. Paul even says in Romans 1:1, a servant of Jesus Christ called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And the good news of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can address the sinful condition of every heart and all the evil that's in our world. Let's go ahead and look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. My interest in tonight, in the sermon tonight, is to give each of us just a fresh look at what the gospel is, even a way to be able to express the gospel to other people. Last Sunday morning, we talked about how we are witnesses, and we have something to tell people because of the fact that we know what happened to us, what we were before we were saved, what brought us to salvation, and now what God's done in our hearts and life. This is in addition to just being able to be a witness, because none of us was there when Christ rose from the dead. Now, the early disciples could say that, and they saw that. At least they saw the resurrected Christ. But we can not only be a witness, but we also, the Bible tells us, to give the gospel. It says, chapter 15, verse number 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. And this is the way a person gets saved, is by putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, by believing the gospel. If ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. It's something that he, at one point in time, had to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. You see, there's a importance there to help people understand. This is not something new. This is not something written by man. This is something that was before the foundation of the world was set aside for the salvation of mankind. It's according to the scriptures. This was God written. This was God planned. And so it's helped people understand that it wasn't just he died for sins because he was forced to, it's according to scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. To give you some understanding of those verses, Cephas is referring to Peter there. The 12 is referring to the group of people that saw him that day. We looked at that in Luke chapter 24, especially the 11 that were there. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. There was a time when he appeared in his resurrected body where there's over 500 people there, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, meaning they're still alive, but some are fallen asleep, referring to the fact that some have died. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also. And this is Paul who's writing this, as one born out of due season. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for today. Thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the impact it's made in many of our lives, if not all of our lives. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight that does not know or have never put their faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done and understanding what the gospel is and believing in the gospel, Lord, I pray they come to a saving knowledge of you through the preaching and teaching of your word. Lord, I also pray for the believers that are here tonight, understand that the world needs to hear the gospel. There's a great need out there today, and the people that are going to give out the gospel are the people who have been affected by the gospel, those that have received the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you give us a burden, that you break our hearts once again for the need of those that are around us. Help us, Lord, tonight to understand you've given us the gospel, not just to know it, but to also give it out. In Jesus' name, amen. So you have up there on our board, it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to every creature." At the end of the message, we're going to look at the Great Commission. The Great Commission is five different sections that are found throughout the Bible. It is one Great Commission that was given, but it's broken into five different parts in the way that it's recorded. And we're going to look at those five different parts. But in the part that you see up there from the mark, you're seeing the fact that it's been given to, that we're supposed to give it to every creature. What does that mean? That means you can't give the gospel to the wrong person. You say, what if the person already knows? That's okay. They're not going to be upset. If you think someone, if someone came up to me and wanted to talk to me and give me the gospel, you know what? I'd be excited for them and say, you know what? I'm already saved. I'm already on the way to heaven, but I'm excited that someone cared enough about me and they cared enough about the commission that God has given them to be able to want to tell other people. People need the gospel in every single generation. The Lord Jesus' earthly ministry was a gospel ministry. Over and over, it talks about the gospel that was being preached. Our generation is in desperate need of the gospel. True followers of Christ must do their part and willing to fulfill the plan. The work of the gospel is the work of every single believer. And nowhere does it give anybody off saying, hey, look, you don't need to say the gospel. He tells the entire group there to go ye into all the world. It's something that's intended for each believer to do and to be a part of. One preacher put it this way. He said, if people are not being saved, one of two things are wrong. Either the gospel has lost its power, or believers are not giving it out. And we know the message of Christ has certainly not lost its power, but many times God's people do not, they only know the truth, but they do not give it out. It says here in verses 3 and 4, he says, "For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received." It was delivered unto them. And this is in the context of this message, the book of Corinthians was written to help this church that was distracted. This church that had a lot of different abuses and disorders in this local church. And he wrote this to them and helping them towards the end. He says something here in chapter 14, verse number 40, the last verse before chapter 15. It says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Talking about the order that's supposed to be happening in a church. And then he continues on to talk about the gospel. "As moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." You say, what does that mean? He says that there is a reason and there's a purpose for church. And that purpose is to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. Many churches have gotten often distracted and they got detoured by the primary work that's responsible to do is to give out the gospel. They've gotten worried about other things and they've gotten too interested in the other maybe smaller things and they forget the importance that he has given the mandate to the church to reach people of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 15 is the great resurrection chapter of the Bible. It details the power of a living Savior. It details how he rose again and how we can have power by living through him. But believers love to quote the last verse in this chapter. If you probably turn the page, you can see what it says here. And most of you probably even know it. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast." I know some people like to be steadfast, and that's good. "Unmovable." And that's good. You know, when you know what's right, you want to stick with that. "Always abounding in the work of the Lord." So, you know, what's the work of the Lord? I believe the main work of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know that there's other things that are part of that and other things that we're supposed to be doing as believers. But the great commission that he's given us, the last thing he told us to do is to go into all the world. And sometimes people like to say, yeah, I'm steadfast, I'm unmovable. But are we always abounding in the work of the Lord? Many people like to quote that verse, but what is the work of the Lord? It's the work of the gospel. And we cannot complain, we cannot claim this promise saying, I'm steadfast, I'm unmovable, I'm always abounding in the work of the Lord, if we do not reach people with the gospel, or at least tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it continues on, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He said, what do you mean? If you're telling someone the gospel, your labor is not going to be in vain. There is a purpose and there's a reason. You can always give them scripture, and as you give someone scripture, the Holy Spirit of God can bring that up either that day or years later. I remember hearing Travis Klein's testimony about getting that track, and it wasn't until years later that God brought that to memory. He found that track, he called that preacher, and he was led to the Lord through that track. And he says he didn't realize the importance of just giving out that track, but then he spent the most of the rest of his life giving out tracks and being willing to tell people and just getting in the gospel. Because if you give someone an opportunity, you give someone the scripture, you give someone the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know what can happen? God can do something in their heart, and God can do a work in their lives. Our world is full of bad news. I had somebody text me the other day and said, he says, do you want the good news or the bad news? And in all reality, there was no bad news. When the individual told me what they thought was bad news, it wasn't really that bad. And I was like, well, give me the good news, because all I hear seems like it's bad news. And all reality in the world that we live in today, there is a bunch of bad news. But those who know the Lord Jesus Christ have something that they can give the generation that's here and say, I have something you really need. You need good news. I got the good news that you need. I remember I have a friend who goes out and passes out tracts, and he says to them the way he approaches them and says, hey, can I give you some good news? And even on the front of the track, it talks about good news. And you know, tracks, you say, well, they work sometimes. They don't, you know what? They're going to work if you give them out. If you don't give them out, they're just going to stay in your pocket. The good news is something that we need to give. And there are three things I want you to understand about the good news. The first thing I want you to understand about the good news is to get acquainted with the good news. To understand the key elements of the good news. And it's something that we probably would all say, oh yes, I know that and I understand that. We may know that, we may understand that, but to a lost and dying world, many times they don't. First thing is, you cannot give out something that you do not possess. You cannot give out something that you do not possess. What do you mean? Well, if my son had $100 in his wallet, which if he does, maybe I'll take that, I'm joking. But I can't give my son's $100 away, can I? It's not mine to give. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, to do it underneath the power of the Holy Spirit, I can't give it out unless I possess it. Have you ever received the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you know the gospel? Look what it says once again in verse number 3. Paul says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. It's something he received. It's something he accepted. It's something that he believed. On that road to Damascus, he wasn't going to Damascus to tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was going to stamp out the gospel. He was going to stop people teaching and preaching about Jesus Christ. But once he received the gospel of Jesus Christ, he then began to give it out. Know the elements of the gospel. There are so many things that are connected to the gospel. Every good thing in this life and in eternity is rooted in the work of Christ. However, the gospel is very simple. It is the death of Christ. He died for our sins. It's the burial of Christ. He carried our sins far away. It's the resurrection of Christ. He rose from the dead to give us eternal and abundant life. Know that you have experienced the gospel for yourself. And when you look at this, you think about it in 1 Corinthians 15 verses 8 and 9. It says, and last of all, he was seen also of me and of as one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So the point is, experience it for yourself. Have you ever had an opportunity where you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? There's a difference between knowing something intellectually and personally believing and putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's a difference between knowing about God and believing that you are a sinner and that you're in need of a Savior and asking Christ to save you. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, ye and believe the gospel? Have you ever repented? Have you ever turned to God by faith, taking Christ as your personal Savior? Time has come for people to do that. But they'll never hear that if we don't tell them the gospel. Believe the gospel. Be saved. If you've never been saved, if you never truly put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that's supposed to happen. But the only way that you can get acquainted with the gospel, the only way you can truly understand the gospel, is by believing and trusting in it. Second thing is not just get acquainted with it. The second thing is to give the good news. Go ahead and take your Bibles to Romans chapter number 1. Paul not only writes this passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, it's a great passage of scripture talking about the gospel, but also in Romans chapter 1, he writes another marvelous piece under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, obviously, about the gospel and about telling people about Christ. Romans chapter number 1, chapter 1, verse number 14, the Bible says, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." And he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." He's not ashamed of it, of Christ. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." You see underneath this, in this passage of scripture, there is some good news that he wants to give out. There's something he wants to tell them. The first thing he says, I want you to take notice of how many times he uses the word, "I am." It is a personal thing. It is a personal gospel. He says, "I am a debtor. I am ready to preach. I am not ashamed." Over and over is something that he makes personal. It's something he says, "Look, I am responsible. I am the one that is not ashamed. I am the one that is ready." And then we all think that the pastor should be that way. We all think that people in leadership should be that way. Well, but what the Apostle Paul is saying, he has made it personal. He's not looking for everyone else to go and spread the gospel for him. He's not looking for everyone else to do his work. He's saying, "Me personally, I am responsible and personally accountable because God's given me this good news." Let's look at this. First of all, I am a debtor. Paul believed that he owed the gospel to all people, no matter their education, no matter their race, no matter where they were from. It is good news for everyone. Look, it says, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise." He was saying, "I am not prejudiced. God's love is not prejudiced. God's love is for all people. And it doesn't matter who you are." It is, Paul is saying that I'm a debtor to them. I have something that I owe, something that I must give. To have something is to owe something. Remember back in 2 Kings chapter number 7, those leprous men were kicked out of the city. And as they were kicked out of the city, they thought, "Well, I'll just go ahead and go over to the other army and see if they'll give us some food." Because the people in the city, they were starving to death. The army had compassed around the city and they were stopping the food. And people were actually killing and eating other people inside that city. It's a disgusting story. But these four leprous men go over and they go to the people that are there inside that army, and they find out that there's nobody there. They found out that the army has fled away, and that all the army people had left, and all the army people were gone, and they were going from tent to tent. They were eating everything they could. They were spoiling the tents. No one was around. It was something great. It was something wonderful. And as they were eating, the Bible says that they looked at one another and said, "We do not well this day. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace." He says, so over here, out here, there's a bunch of empty tents. Out here, there's a bunch of food. Out here, there's a bunch of silver and gold. There's a bunch of things that can help nourish the people in the city. And we found it out for ourselves, and we began to partake of it. We began to feast on it. We began to be a part of it and enjoy it. But over there, just a few miles away, inside that city, there were people that were dying because they didn't have food, because they didn't have the nourishment they needed. They were people killing each other and people that were even acting as cannibals. And he says, "We're sitting here, and today is a good day. We had the news, the good news that they need, and all we had to do is go and tell them." And you consider, he said, "Well, that's kind of wrong for them to sit there when their own people were there and they were dying of hunger and they had food. But how much worse is it for us that know Jesus Christ and that have our sins that are forgiven and that plan on spending eternity in heaven, and there's a lost and dying world out there that does not know Christ and does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, does not know that their sins can be forgiven, that does not know that there is good news out there and there is hope for the hopeless and that there is someone that cares and loves for them and someone who died for them, and we keep it to ourselves. And he says, we do not well this day, because this day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Many times we hold our peace. So not only are we supposed to get acquainted with the gospel, we're also supposed to tell others the gospel. He says, I'm a debtor. Oswald Smith said it this way: no one has the right to hear the gospel twice while there remains someone who has not heard it once. We are debtors. See, what do you mean? We should stop preaching gospel to someone else? I don't think he's saying that. He's saying that since we've heard it, we should be interested in telling those that have not heard. Not only does he say, I'm a debtor, look at verse number 15. He says, I am ready. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Most people think that they're not ready. Most people think, well, I can't tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I can't tell somebody about the gospel. What if they ask a question? What if they say something I don't know? What if they try to confuse me or trap me, things like that? Well, Paul says here that I'm ready. But there is a secret in this verse. He says, so much as is in me, I am ready. Paul is saying I am ready because of what is in him. Think of it. What is in Paul? Christ is in Paul. Truth is in Paul. The Holy Spirit of God is in Paul. We're not asked to give something that we do not have. We are called to share the one that lives within us. We're not asked to tell a story that we don't know because it's already personally, we've experienced it ourselves. We are acquainted with it. We already knew that we were lost. We already knew what brought us to salvation. And now what Christ is doing in our lives, we are told to be witnesses in Luke chapter 24. And this is what is in you. As much as is in me is, I am ready. Think about it. What you have inside of you, if you're a Christian, you have truth. You know what the truth is. If there was a time in your life when you recognize yourself as a sinner and that you needed a Savior, you have the truth. You know what God's done for you. You know the change that God's made in your life. You can tell somebody, this is my testimony. If you have questions I don't know the answer to, you come talk to the pastor. You come talk to someone that you can trust spiritually. But there is a truth that I found, and there's a truth that I become acquainted with, and there's a truth that I must tell. And that's what Jesus Christ did for me, how I became a Christian, and what God's done in my life. I think we can all do that. But do we? And you say, Pastor, I'm not ready. You have the truth in you. More importantly, not only do you have the truth, you have the Holy Spirit of God that lives within you and wants you to witness through you. Now depend on him for wisdom. In James chapter 1, it talked about, we looked, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth. And we've looked at that. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. And guess what he says? He'll give it to you. And he'll not only give it to you, he'll give it to you liberally. He won't upbraid you about. That's a promise he's given you. You go with the Holy Spirit of God leading you and directing you. He will give you the words to say. He'll give you the courage to say it. Depend on the Christ that lives inside of you. And he's saying that I'm not, he says that I am ready to preach the gospel. He's telling the Church of Rome, I'm ready, but it's as much as it's in me. It's not my own personal feelings, because sometimes, you know what? Sometimes I get nervous. Sometimes I get scared. Sometimes I get uncomfortable. Sometimes I get uneasy when talking to an individual. But it's not about me or my feelings. It's the grace of God in my life and what God has done in my life and what God can do in another person's life. And the Holy Spirit of God gives us the opportunity and the strength and the courage and the words to say if we will only put our faith and trust in him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you can hold your place there. You don't have to look it up, but Paul gives the witness of this. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly. He's saying it was the grace of God that did this. It is but the grace of God, which was with me. It was because of God's unmerited favor. After this very personal word, he says to them, he says, it's revealed to me, faith to faith. The just shall walk by faith. And that's how the just shall walk by faith. It's by sharing their faith. Faith to faith. Third thing I want you to see here, not only is it, I'm a debtor and I'm ready, but he says, I'm not ashamed. And you think about this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, probably most of us would say, oh, of course I'm not ashamed of it. But in all reality, many of us hide our faith. Everyone needs the gospel. You can't give the gospel to the wrong person. But he says here, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He's saying, look, I'm not ashamed. I'm a witness. And that's what people get. It's the power of salvation. That's the power. And he says, well, I don't see why the importance of him dying and getting buried and rising again is so important. He's the one that says this is the good news. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So not only should you get acquainted with the gospel, and not only should you give the good news, but you should also consider the Great Commission. We're supposed to go with the good news. Apostle Paul made it clear that the gospel of grace calls him to labor. Go ahead and take your Bible back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He makes it clear that this labor that he has, he says, but the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly. The Paul makes it clear that the gospel of grace calls him to labor. There's both rest and labor in the gospel. We rest in what he did for us, but we labor to get others to know him. You think about it, when the angels came to the shepherds, what did they do? They told him about Jesus. They told him he was born. And what did the shepherds do? They went and saw for themselves. And what did the shepherds do after that? They declared others. They told the good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The shepherds went and they declared to everyone else, now it's our turn. Tell them the good news. Look what it says here in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It's part of the Great Commission. Psalms 126, verses 5 through 6 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in his sheaves with him. And so here's the verse. It says, he that goeth. So go with the good news. I'm missing one of my slides up there. I'm sorry about that. But it says there that we go with. He that goeth forth and weepeth. We got to go. Simply put, that most of us don't go. What's the first two letters of the gospel? It's go. And he says, go ye into all the world. And he says the person that's willing to go for it and the person that's willing to invest in it will doubtless come again. So we have to be willing to go. We can't just be willing to sit by and think that's a good thing to do. That's the thing we're supposed to do. But we're supposed to go. Certainly, those that are true followers of Jesus Christ want to advance his kingdom for him. As someone who wants to have a part in his life. And let's look at these different passages of scripture that show us the great commission that he gave us. It's not just us. It's not just an option. It's mandatory that we should go with the good news. Now, look what it says in Matthew 28, verses 18, 20. And it says, this is the first part of the great commission. We are supposed to go and to make disciples of others. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So as the Great Commission, we have it in five different parts. This part tells us what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to not only win them to Christ, but we're also supposed to teach them to be disciples. The next part of the Great Commission is we're supposed to go to every creature. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means every person, there's an interest in each and every single one of us that he wants all to receive Christ. He's not willing that any should perish. I know there's some out there that says that he thinks that God predetermined who was going to be saved and who wasn't going to be saved. But it says every creature there. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he's not willing that any should perish. Over and over in the scriptures, it is something that the Bible speaks about, the importance of that we are supposed to try to reach the world with Christ, to every creature. Next part of the Great Commission, we are to go as personal witnesses of Christ. And we looked at this a few weeks ago. Then opened him their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behove Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And we looked at this last Sunday morning. You know, we're witnesses of this. Now, he was saying to that group, the 11 that was there, and the group of probably over 100 that was there when Jesus appeared, and he says, ye are witnesses. You've seen this. You've experienced this. You've been through this. You can tell people what you've been through. And the same thing for us, that we're witnesses what Christ has done in us. Next thing you see is that we've been given a divine authority. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. You know, some people say, what right do you have to go knock on the door? What right do you have to do to go and tell somebody about Jesus Christ? I don't want to hear that. And understand, we're not going to force ourselves on people, but we've been given a commission. We've been given a mandate. We're not been talking about the government. We're not talking about our spouse telling us to do something, or the preacher telling us to do something, or our boss telling us to do something. God himself says, even so send I you. God has told me to go into all the world. God has told me to bring it to every creature. And when someone else gets upset, we're sorry for that, and we be kind to them. We be considerate. We don't be rude. We don't be arrogant. But at the same time, we're more interested in what God has to say and God's commission to this world, not what the world thinks about it. And the last part of the Great Commission is we go in the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't do it in our own strength, our own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth. The good news. I want you to just get a fresh perspective. I want you to get an understanding that we have good news to sell somebody in a world that's very dark, in a world that's very evil, in a world that's very wicked. There's good news. Jesus Christ loves you, and he died for you, and he wants you to turn to God. He wants you to believe and trust in a Savior. Now, you look at 1 Corinthians 15 once again. There's a verse that's found in verse 34 that I think is very humbling. Verse number 34. The Bible says, we'll start at verse number 33. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Then he says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Look, it says, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now, Paul, in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, you know what? Stop being deceived and thinking that these relationships and these other fellowships you have with, they're not going to hurt you. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. Stop being deceived by that. And he says, now wake up. But don't awake to the other things of this world. It says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Think about that word, sin not. I think that reminds me, the Bible says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. So if we know we're supposed to reach out, if we know we're supposed to tell the world about Jesus Christ, and we're not doing it, according to what it says in James 4:17, to him it is sin. And he's saying, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. And I don't really like to hear that because it's to my shame. We told you about Larry this morning, and there's been other times in my life when I did not follow the call and the leading of God to talk to somebody, and someday I'll be personally accountable to that. But he says, I speak this to your shame. This is a command of God. This is a time when every believer should be wide awake for eternity. Souls around them need to be reached with the gospel, and we have the good news. We have the remedy. We have what people need. But many times we don't even go. Five things there I want you to think about. Those five different things are, first of all, we're supposed to go and make disciples. We're supposed to go with every creature. We're supposed to be a personal witness. We go with a divine authority, and we go in the power of the Holy Spirit. With all those things combined, that mandate that God has given us is telling us to give out the gospel. So this week, last week I encouraged you to tell your testimony to someone. This week I want to encourage you to tell someone not only your testimony, but tell them the gospel. And you can do that inside your testimony. You know, this is how I got saved. I came to the point when I understood the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins and that he was buried and he rose again and gives me an opportunity to have life that is eternal. You have a witness, you have a testimony, but not only that, you have the gospel of Jesus Christ that is the power of God unto salvation. But do we give it out? I know it's something you say, Pastor, you're harping on this. It's something you're talking about often. But it's something that so many of us, the devil fights it so hard, so much. He doesn't want us to give out the gospel. He wants us to be distracted. He wants us to be detoured. He wants us to get so worried about our own little ministry or worried about this or worried about that, that we're not expressing the gospel to anybody. We're not telling anybody. We're not handing out a gospel tract. We're not giving the truth. We have the good news, but who are we telling? Let me encourage you in your day-to-day life, and your day-to-day meetings, ask God to give you somebody this week to be able to share the gospel. And ask God and make the Holy Spirit to make you sensitive to what eternity is, like we talked about this morning. There will be a day when there will be no more. There will be a day when you will never have a chance to tell someone else about the gospel. There will be a day when no one will have a chance to get right with God. No more night, no more pain. Those are all wonderful things. But remember, while we're enjoying that, there's a whole lot of people that are suffering. Just like I said this morning, we enjoyed the fact that we missed the hurricane. But there's a lot of people that are suffering. And I want you to understand, there is a day coming where we'll never be able to work again. We'll never be able to serve in the way that we can today in telling people about Christ. Don't miss the chance. Don't miss the opportunity. As much as is in me, rely on the Holy Spirit and the truth that we have. I am ready to preach the gospel. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. The good news